Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Many of us will remember the wonderful movie Amazing Grace, which was on our screens a couple of years ago. It celebrated the work of the great William Wilberforce and his lifelong work to end slavery. Sadly, that work is still not complete. Human trafficking and slavery still flourish in some parts of the world. So, World Vision has designated today, Sunday, Abolitionist Sunday. Martin Thomas is the Head of External Relations and Public Affairs at World Vision. Martin, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you. It seems such a foreign and perhaps outdated thing to us here in Australia how big an issue is human trafficking and slavery.
Well, it's ironically bigger today than it was in the day of Wilberforce.
Wow.
Now, obviously, it's illegal now, but it is one of the fastest growing crimes. And the number of people that are trafficked now is greater than in the time of William Wilberforce. So you can only imagine what he would think today. He, I think, certainly would be devastated, but also perplexed about how it can continue in this day and age.
I'm perplexed. I'm surprised. How do you explain that then?
Well, obviously, Wilberforce had a lifelong campaign which was successful in outlawing it. But what is really happening today is through supply and demand, we are seeing people trafficked. And the things that you buy on the shelf, unfortunately, have a bearing. We buy cheap products. Invariably, that creates a demand for cheap labor. And because of human nature being what it is, rather than just cheap labour, people are then actually forced into, forced labour, where in many cases they don't get paid, so modern day slavery, and where the supply and demand demands it, people are trafficked across borders.
Human trafficking and slavery is such a familiar term, and yet I think lots of us don't understand how it works in practice. So can you give us a story perhaps of how this has worked out, how the system works?
Well, it works at a whole bunch of levels, as you can imagine.
Yes.
Most people probably think about sexual trafficking and quite a sophisticated process. I was in Africa in the Ivory Coast and Ghana, which is one of the key sources for cocoa, cheap cocoa, which goes into our chocolate. Something like 70% of the world's cocoa is sourced from there. What you find there are small family farms and for cocoa plants, and there might be four or five children. Always there's children working on these plantations. And then as you talk to the father or you talk to family members, you work out some of these children go to school and some of them don't. And as you explore more, you find out the kids that don't go to school actually don't belong to the family. They've been sent there by a relative, or they've actually been abducted in some cases, and they live as second-class citizens. They don't go to school. They're involved in risky, hard work, and essentially they are modern-day slaves. So it's even hard to recognise sometimes, but it certainly is there, and it's quite profound. And when we think of the absolute numbers, something like 27 million people are either trafficked or in forced labour.
What a confronting thing. Am I naive to ask, surely it's not legal in most parts of the world to traffic in human
beings?
Well,
that's right. It is clearly illegal.
Yes.
The issue is, I guess, how these economies operate. Now, in very poor countries, we can understand a farm or a family farm using children. What we need to, though, is get to a stage where we can pay these farmers a fair price for their produce so that they can allow their kids to go to school. We're not looking at taking kids out completely of farming. I mean, even in Australia, the kids will help out on a farm.
Sure.
But the key is to get kids in school, and the key is also to make sure that there's not that trade in trafficking.
And the demand from people like us.
Absolutely, that's right. I mean, when you bite a bar of chocolate, it's really interesting. Wilberforce, in his campaign, they actually advocated that they shouldn't put sugar in their tea, because they actually said to people,
yep,
because it was sourced out of slave labour, there's blood in every spoonful of tea. The same thing applies to us in terms of when we buy chocolate. We can buy fair trade chocolate and have a guarantee that there's no child labour, or we can buy other brands of chocolate, and really we are in exactly the same position. There's blood in that chocolate.
It's a very easy thing to do, or not. Is trafficking worse among men or women? And we should include kids in that as well, I suppose.
Look, kids are the most vulnerable. What gets the most attention and most people would be aware of is that sexual trafficking, which is obviously something that is, women are obviously trapped in that much more. But because of the sheer numbers, It's almost equal, and it's children that the ones are the most vulnerable, and that's really forced labour. You get horrifying stories also, particularly in countries like India, where a father has taken a very small loan, and because of the excessive interest rates that the lender puts on that, he almost sells his children into to labour to pay that debt off. And because of the system being so corrupt, it can actually go from generations. So a grandchild can be sold into labour to pay that one debt. And in some cases, it can be as little as $10 Australian. It's quite extraordinary
and interest and rates. Heartbreaking. We heard from Christina Keneally, interest rates of up to 800%. How do you
ever pay it's extraordinary, that off? Isn't it? Yeah, we complain about interest rates in Australia. Yeah. I know it causes hardship, but it's a different world.
Yes. Countries worst affected or regions where this is prevalent?
Well, look, we actually sit in the backyard of many of it. Asia Pacific, particularly around trafficking in that Mekong Delta region. But really, the biggest numbers, probably as you would imagine, particularly for forced labour, is India. So that's a massive issue. And when you think that Australia is continuing and wanting to develop a trading partnership, quite rightly, with India, the more we can do to help to tackle this problem and resource it is obviously very great. And other commodities like cocoa and chocolate, as we mentioned, Africa, still very, very bad. Wherever there's poverty, wherever there's a demand, you'll find trafficking and forced labour.
What is World Vision doing about it with those kind of numbers and its reach and depth? You think, what can be done?
Yeah, exactly. It is overwhelming. Look, I think there's two components to it. One is in the programs we run, we look at trying to tackle poverty. And where we tackle poverty, you can offset the vulnerability of children. If families have enough to eat, if they have hope in their community, they're less likely to send a child off, in many cases, to be misled by someone that promises their child a job in another place and they end up in slavery. But I think one of the other key things for World Vision, and this is why Abolitionist Sunday is so important, is for us to help people understand that what we buy on our supermarket shelf today has a profound impact along the supply chain and can directly affect the life of a child. So as a church, as a faith community, we are really encouraging people to revive this spirit of Wilberforce, to be abolitionists and to think carefully about what they buy and what impact that has on children.
Okay, so give us some practical advice. I go to the supermarket tomorrow and the choices I make will be important.
Yes.
Guide me.
Yeah. Look, and I must be honest, it is incredibly complicated.
Yes.
What we can say, and the two commodities that have been most publicised, and we don't have any excuse, is probably coffee and chocolate. Now, I could probably live off that, so that's probably a good thing.
You're a bad man. You're a sad man.
I think we need, clearly in those commodities, we look for a fair trade symbol.
Yes.
And that will give you a guarantee that children haven't been trafficked or used as forced labour in that. The other issue is just to really be aware, and what we really need to do, because supply chains are so complicated and so difficult, we as a community need to be demanding from companies, manufacturers, political leaders, that the onus actually should be on companies, not us. It's very hard for me or for you as an individual to go down to a local supermarket and work out which product is tainted by child labour or not. We think the companies should have an onus to say, we can guarantee you our supply chain is clean and that children haven't been forced into labour or traffic to make this product, and we'll have a symbol or we'll have some kind of way that we can clearly identify it. We think government should also have a role to make sure that it is a system people can have faith in as well. And
yes.
And that only really comes with people power, and that's why Abolitionist Sunday is so important.
It's a great idea. I think it's always important also to hear what can be done, how people's lives can be turned around to encourage us to support something like this. Have you got a story where this has actually happened?
Mm. You can see look, that is the good thing, I think. There are countless stories around people that have had their lives turned around. I mean, I've been to programs in India. It's amazing what breaks your heart when you see what happens. I remember seeing an 11-year-old child, and she talked about the fact that she was basically forced into work in a factory from the age of about 6 or 7, when other children were playing or going off to school, she would have to work. And the hours were almost like 12 hours a day. I met her in school. So through a World Vision program, the ability of bringing her out and giving her a future was quite profound. I mean, I think, and you mentioned it earlier, it is such an overwhelmingly difficult problem to get your mind around. But when you see the impact you can make on one child, it makes a huge difference. And I think for each of us, if we can modify our behavior, understand things better, and even in the way we shop. I mean, World Vision and other charities and aid agencies have gift catalogs at Christmas,
yes,
where you know not only is it not tainted by child labor, but it also actually benefits a community. So you get Artie Betty a chicken or a cow or something that helps a whole community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Martin Thomas, always great to chat. Wish you well. Thank you very much for joining us on Abolitionist Sunday.
Thanks very much for your interest.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.